Okay.
Recording in progress.
So, welcome everybody. This is February 10th, 2022, at a few minutes after 6 p.m. This is a meeting of the Esperanza Elementary School Board, and we will proceed with our agenda as set forth in the prepared agenda. I'm looking first to those on the call, and I recognize myself, Marty Banks, a board member, Eulogio Alejandre, our principal, Jesse Hyatt, fourth grade teacher, Leonel, board member, Bill Shumway, board member, and Ari Moreno, masquerading as Zoe Camilla. You're not a board member, are you?
Who?
Jesse?
No, he's a teacher representative.
Got it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'd like to be, but...
Brian Cates is on the call via... Julia is on the call as well, vice principal. And I also see an iPhone without a name associated with it. If someone can help me identify that person.
I am not sure.
Oh,
Lopez.
I believe you're muted.
Yes, my name is Lourdes. I'm the speech language technician at the school.
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Miriam Perez, and forgive me, I don't believe I know Natalie.
Natalie Pentico is our parent liaison.
Got it. Thanks for joining us. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I recognize you. Thank you very much. Okay, so...
And we have Jose Borjon, who's the consulate of Mexico, who will be speaking to us in a couple of minutes.
Well, we were saving the best for last. Thank you very much for joining us, Jose. We feel ourselves lucky to have you with us. Thank you for taking time out of your important and busy schedule.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to join you.
Terrific. So I'm going to move to the agenda now. And unless others have more urgent things, we need to move to the front. Nothing. We'll start with a financial report from Brian Cates.
Thank you, Mari. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We had a good finance meeting with Phil and Eulogio. One of the things discussed, as usual, is the latest PTIF statement. I don't know if you can give me access to be able to share my screen.
Oh, I thought I had. Just a second. Okay. Can you try it?
Yeah, that worked. Thanks. Okay. So, this is a statement for the current fiscal year through the end of January. Just under $2,100 of interest earned. You can see for the past 4 or 5 months, we're actually trending in the right direction. Not a whole lot of dollars and cents, but still trending in the right direction. We're in our discussions, Eulogio did mention, and I think maybe some of you have heard as well, that interest rates will be raised, so we should see hopefully some more reinvestment, larger reinvestment amounts in the coming months. Okay. All right. As far as our budget summary, again, this is as of the end of January, which is about 58% through the fiscal year. Still in really good position financially. Our forecasted operating margin is about 8.5%. We have made several adjustments to certain line items that we've discussed previously. A couple of those are just overall cleaning services and cleaning supplies due to just keeping the building safe and clean, mostly as a result of COVID. Another significant increase was, of course, due to our conversion from the UAPCS retirement program over to URS. The rest of our financial metrics are healthy. Our cash balance is trending well, moving in the right direction. And overall enrollment, we've gained some, but then lost a few students as of the beginning of this month. We're at 527. So still right in and around that number, where we'd like to be. And overall, the restricted funds, Olofio and I are always talking about restricted funds. You hear me mention those quite a bit. We're at a position at this time of the year where we will be making a couple of reimbursement requests for a couple of federal buckets of funds, IDEA as well as Title I. And then, of course, we continuously work to track our other buckets of federal and state funding, particularly the restricted funds, to not only making sure that we're in compliance and following that plan, but also making sure that we have the expenses to cover those. So we'll be continuing to work on that as well. And as I said, make a couple of requests through Utah grants here within the next few weeks. Okay. I sent a couple of emails. I know we discussed in our finance meeting as far as getting a couple of bids for auditors. We've been with Squire for quite a while. They've been great. We're going to... I sent the contact info to Phil, who's on the audit committee, to another auditor that we work with. That's fantastic. And as far as procurement goes, just a reminder to everybody, we'll be getting 2 to 3 bids per the law. They do not meet the threshold of having to do an RFP, so we're good on that front. As far as a legislative update, as you know, the legislative session will most likely conclude, it will conclude next month. As far as any bills that affect education and charter schools in particular, we'll have to wait till it ends to see how that shakes out. Right now, we're hearing anywhere between 2.5% up to 7% as far as being the WPU recommended increase in funding. And then we're hearing about a 7% increase in the LRF portion of state funding, which is the local replacement fund, which between those two amounts, the vast majority of our state funding comes through those two. So hopefully we'll see another healthy increase in state funding next year. Any questions? Okay, that is all I had, Marty. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, very much. We appreciate, as always, your input and the concise report. You're, as always, welcome to join us and stay with us as long as you care to, but understand you have other commitments if you need to leave.
Thank you.
Very good. Eulogio, I will either defer to you or ask our guest, Mr. Borjon, to, for the benefit of those in our group that may not be familiar with the role that a consul plays for a foreign country, to give us a little background at the first of the remarks.
Certainly. And I believe he may mention some of the things that his office does, but he has been collaborating with us from the time we opened. They gave us over $30 worth of textbooks that are used in Mexican schools all over the country. And they recently donated a bunch of boxes of brand new books that we have in our library. So I think he will mention a little bit of his role in this area in Utah, and I believe he represents some other areas, and maybe he will mention some of those. So I will introduce Jose Borjon, the Consulate of Mexico.
Thank you very much, Eulogio. Mr. Borjon.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and thank the Esperanza School. And yes, I think it's important to first just briefly explain what a consulate does. we are an office, and I am a representative of a foreign government, in this case, Mexico, and our main purpose as an office, like a U.S. consulate in Mexico or another country, is to see how we can serve our nationals in their most immediate needs, and starting with their documentation, Mexican passports, birth certificates, those who are born here in the U.S. of a Mexican or parent, mother or father are eligible for a dual citizenship, and we register them. So we are both an office for documenting Mexican nationals, registration, power of notary, but also there's another two areas which are critical, and one clearly intersects with the school. The other one is the protection of their human rights, and that's working with law enforcement, lawyers in specific cases that our nationals will need our assistance. And then the third area is the community development. How can we help our community here in Mexican-Americans living in the state of Utah to thrive, to empower? And we can only do this with limited resources, but with a lot of possibilities of partnerships. And that's where this consulate has really the blessing of having great partners, faith-based organizations, non-profit organizations, and schools. And I'm here to acknowledge and recognize and appreciate and express it clearly my real joy of having worked with Esperanza for, in my tenure, 4 years and a half, which are opportunities to really help those who are Hispanic, because in health, education, community development, we really have a greater opportunity to serve not only the Mexicans, but through the partnerships, anyone who is willing and interested to partner with us. And that's where we have had COVID-19 testings at the school, which has helped in a critical moment, especially in West Valley, which, as you know, is a very multicultural city, and for Hispanic and Mexicans, a very important part of our job. I am, as Eulogio said, responsible for the whole state of Utah and the western part of Wyoming, but we need to concentrate our resources where we have a greater presence. So through partnerships, we have that impact. And I was saying, in health, we've had the pleasure and really partnering with the school, with Salt Lake County Health Department, so that there are COVID testing exercises, vaccinations sites as well, and the whole program that you already have in the school meals. And obviously promoting the richness of the students, young persons who are part of the school. And that's where we've also had a really excellent partnership with the music program, with what they're doing. You know, you have the privilege of having the only youth mariachi, and believe me, not all states have it. You can find that in California, big places, but not in other places. And that has been real opportunity for us as a concert to partner, showcase the real talent and discipline that these young persons have and showcase. And I think that has really caused an impact, a very positive visibility. I just want to put it out there on the name Esperanza. And I think that will obviously help the educational projects that you lead. And this way, to us, is also an opportunity to showcase the richness and opportunity that our community have here. And as I said, I'm not only thinking on the Mexican and Mexican-Americans, but really the Hispanics, because I see those who are part of, and even non-Hispanics of the mariachi and the different, both the Jews, the children, and it shows how really it's a great model for children. It really gives a lot of pride to the families. I've seen, I've been part of many presentations, and I can see the commitment of the families joining them in different parts. And I really admire that, and I just wanted to have this opportunity to see, tell you that this really has an impact, not only in the school, which I'm sure, but outside, in the community, and it has given a name, a project, a view of what the school represents, which is unique, and we want to continue partnering. As a consulate, what we do, as I said, we bring programs that are of interest for the community, and we also have initiatives for parents. We bring, especially for those who didn't finish their schooling in Mexico, and obviously they need to learn English, it will help them, but sometimes they don't have the level of schooling. So we bring literacy programs from Mexico and try to develop initiatives for literacy as well. We have that in Canyon School District. We're developing this in St. George, in certain places. But that's an offer also to put out there. If there's an interest of how can we engage the parents, we also have certain programs of education, literacy in Spanish, elementary, middle school in Spanish, which can be the cornerstone for families to continue their studies in GD, ESL, etc. So having said that, I'm really just very, very honored to have partnered so far with Esperanza, with Principal Elogio, and all the teachers, obviously the music, our friend in the music department, Ala Moreno, but all the teachers I've had the privilege, and principals and vice principals, and really the kids. We just had an event, I'm not sure if you mentioned that, Elogio, in December with the former major of West Valley, and I'm going to visit the new major next week, and I'm going to talk about Esperanza as an example of a school that integrates our community and works hand in hand, because that's the kind of thing we want to promote, the empowerment of our community, and this can be done at all levels and at a very basic, which is the school. So thank you for me to just put out that appreciation that I personally have of the school, of all its personnel and its families, and please tell me how we can help you also as well in this mission, because I believe it's really having an impact. And if there's questions, comments, please I'd love to have a couple of minutes to talk about that.
Well, thank you very, very much, Constance. We appreciate your time, and more importantly, we appreciate the partnership and your willingness to team up with us, and as we better understand what your resources are and how we might benefit from them, we hope to take advantage and enhance the partnership further. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will move on with our agenda, and I will ask Jesse, if I can put you on the spot for a moment, to make a brief introduction to another one of our guest teachers, Ms. Perez.
Yes, absolutely. Maestra Miriam Perez is now a sixth grade teacher. It's her first year teaching as a teacher at Esperanza. She has a few years of experience working at our school. But she's really just, this year I've noticed how she's just grabbed everything by the horns and just really honed in on the challenge of teaching. Even though she's also working towards her professional teaching license, on top of all that, she's also doing and exceeding expectations with her students in her classroom. So we're glad that she's able to join us tonight so she can share a few things about herself. So I'll turn the time over to her.
Thank you, Jesse, for that introduction. And Ms. Perez, we welcome you. We've slotted 5 minutes on our agenda, and you don't need to take all of that. And if you even need to cheat a little bit and go over, we'd welcome any observations you might have to share with us. I'm not sure if others are having problems, but...
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, the microphone was a little
covered. But yeah, I've been with Esperanza for about a bit over 5 years. I started as a teacher assistant, and then I did move last year as a math intervention. And just as Mr. Hyatt, sorry, I'm used to saying Mr. Hyatt. But yeah, I started my licensing for a teacher, and I have the privilege to be a first-year teacher. And it's been actually very interesting and wonderful, and I am gathering a lot of information. I feel like I was prepared, and I've been really focusing on bringing all the kids up to grade because of the pandemic. I did have a little bit of experience last year trying to see like where the gaps were when we did go into the pandemic. So I don't really have any like concerns, anything yet so far, because I'm, you know, my first year, so I'm just kind of like watching and just taking notes. But I have noticed that just in sixth grade, a lot of parents do have lots of questions about junior high, and what school is the best. Actually, just we had parent-teacher conference, and a lot of their questions and concerns were which one is the best school. But you know, unfortunately, we can't really pick and choose any school, and I just said, you know, every school has their own skills, and just depends on the school's values and just on your students' values as well, because there's different schools. They have either sports. They either have STEM programs or debate teams. I know it just depends on your child, but that is just something that a lot of parents had questions, and I did too, because I didn't really have any experience over that. And just over getting to know a little bit better of the students that I have known for like 3 years, because some of them I did know since third grade, so it's just nice to see them grow into wonderful teenagers, even with all their hormones going on, because I do get attitudes from them. But other than that, they're just wonderful. I do love to see them grow into wonderful people. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We may have a few questions. I have one. You mentioned the recent parent-teacher conference. Give us a sense for what kind of participation you got from your parents in terms of the percentage of kids whose parents were able to show up and how engaged they were and what some of their concerns were or questions.
So I have a class of 28, and out of 28, only 3 were not able to come. One of them did go on vacation, but I did kind of go over on the phone with them of the progress of their students, and the other two I still haven't had any contact, but I'm still trying to get with them to communicate. I did do about, I think, only one Zoom meeting, and the rest were in person. I even had two of them today come in after everybody left, but most of their concerns and questions were just about junior high. They're going to be middle school now, and they just had questions on how to help them at home. There were some students that were a little behind some assignments, and they just asked questions like, what can I do at home to help my students to catch up? What is your policies in class regarding late or missing assignments? So I just let them know, and most of the parents were really engaged in their students' progress. And like I said, most of their questions were, what junior high is very best for my student or my child? And I tried to do my best, saying, you know what, it depends on your kid. Every school has great programs. It just depends on what you're looking for and what your kid is going to be going into the future for their career.
Got it. Great. Any other questions for Ms. Perez? Well, we thank you very much for making a late night of it. We appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your other work and probably homework. But let me just emphasize that we are very appreciative of your energy and your enthusiasm and commitment to these kids in our school. So on behalf of the whole board, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good night. I will be hopping off. I do have some little homework I wasn't able to finish, but thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Becky, welcome. We were going to wait for you to get here, but we decided to start without you.
Okay.
Marty, this is Julie Barrientos. Can I make a quick comment about Ms. Perez Chocholla?
Please.
I just wanted to commend the organization, the leadership, and the board, because that teacher is an example of our institution's ability to develop our own teaching force. She came to us originally working in just the after-school program and really grew into different roles over time. And the school is supporting her, coaching her, helping her with the cost of schooling so that we can have more bicultural, multicultural, and bilingual teachers that really reflect our student body. And I think she's an excellent example of that.
Does she have a child in the school?
She doesn't have children yet, no.
That's awesome. That's a nice story. Thanks for sharing, Julia. Okay, let's keep moving. And Natalie, can we, if you're still with us, and if you're not on that treadmill, oh no, that was a different, excuse me. We'll look forward to a PTO report.
As far as PTO goes and reporting, so we did do our dinners for our faculty yesterday and the day prior. And I guess this is more for the teachers. I actually didn't get any feedback on your meals, which is not normal. So is there any feedback that the faculty would like to give me about how dinner went yesterday and the day prior, and if you felt like you were taken care of? Is there something better that we can do?
Yeah, the few teachers I spoke with, they were very appreciative of that, especially since, you know, we were at the building up until around 7:30, 8 o'clock. Some teachers a little past that. But I myself, for example, didn't really get a lunch yesterday. So having that little relief helped a lot too. Well, for the few teachers I spoke with, very appreciative of your
So I kind of discussed with the moms about perhaps doing a menu, because that's one thing that I try to do, and that's why I stay in the room, is to watch and make sure that I see, especially you, Hyatt. I actually feel like I purposely tried to look for you because you were one of the ones in the past that I've always seen not be able to make it down for dinner. So we've talked about maybe doing like letting you guys know ahead of the day the menu, and that way if you need it delivered, you can check the boxes and say, can you bring this to me if you know you have parents after parents, because we were able to deliver to a few people, but that's because we like came in contact with somebody. And I thought, and we're more than willing to bring you guys your dinner. It's just hard when there's like options, and I'm like, I hope they like the sweet pork. I'm not really sure. So do you think that that would be helpful to the staff?
Natalie, just so you know, when we made the announcement that you could deliver, several people did call the office for you to deliver, and they were very appreciative of that. I stayed late on Tuesday. They were really happy that you were able to deliver it.
Okay, good. Okay, so maybe that's what we will think of in the future for next year, that we'll have, like, the menu, and they can slot what, or they can pick what they want, and then we can just plan on bringing it up to them if that's easier, because I do know you guys work very long hours, and I want to make sure that you guys are fed, Okay, so that's good to keep in mind for next time. And then I did talk to our chocolate representative again, so that's the fundraiser. He did advise me, because we talked about maybe doing 200 boxes or maybe even 150, but it seems like it would be worth just doing the 200 boxes, because that way we would earn the free extra 100 boxes on top of that. So to me, that makes sense. I really do think we should go forward with that fundraiser. I always receive questions or comments of that they want to do it. I think it's doable. I don't feel like it would be an overwhelming task to have that happen. We will do individual. Normally, we would do the assemblies and the pods, but they came up with a video that every teacher can show in their own individual rooms. So I think that's a great idea, that we'll do our kickoff with just the video and just make sure that every teacher has it planned for a specific day leading into the next week, being able to do chocolates. Obviously, if there's questions, I can answer those. I think one loss that could come from not doing the big assembly is not showing the prizes, because that's always like kind of that part that brings enthusiasm to the fundraiser. But I think we'll be okay. We'll still be able to announce them. Maybe I can make flyers that show them. Or maybe I could just rotate between classes and throughout the week and show the prizes as well, making little time slots at the end of the day for different teachers. So we'll have to think about that more. And then just as a side note, I'm actually going to start recruiting more PTO this next month, because I just found out from some of my moms that there's a new school and a lot of them are leaving. So I'm sure you guys are aware of that. I'm assuming you are. So they have a junior high option. So I'm losing a lot of my moms next year to that. But just as a note. So this month I'm planning on really pushing for new members to PTO. So I'll start making flyers, try to have meetings. Sorry, not to talk over somebody. I don't know who's talking.
No, that sounds like a great idea. Thank you. Terrific. Anything else, Natalie?
I think that's it for me.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. Any questions for Natalie? Thanks so much for your work, and we hope you'll spread our thanks to the others that help out.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Thanks. Let's go to our minutes. But let's make a collective mental note, the latter part of our discussion here, to talk about that other school that that Natalie mentioned. Jumping now to our minutes, I'm going to presume that others have had a chance to peruse those from the January 13th, 2022 meeting. Thanks again. Becky, I presume that was your, or was that Leonel's handiwork in summarizing those?
That was Leonel's. I was just actually reviewing it so that I could finish taking minutes for this meeting.
Great. Thanks, Leonel.
They were great.
That's a lot of work. Anyone have any questions before I invite a motion for approval? Hearing none, would anyone care to make a motion to approve the minutes as memorialized in this writing?
This is Becky. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say there are a few misspellings and names that are incorrect. So
I actually noticed that too. Yeah, I noticed that too. And I actually have been going in and correcting them. So that was going to be my motion. I've just gone in and corrected them. So I would second the motion to approve with the spelling corrections.
And can you, for my benefit and for the benefit of the minutes, Becky, someone remind me of Natalie's last name?
It's Pentico, I think that's
Pentico.
Right?
Pentico. Yeah,
Pentico. And you probably already made that correction as well on that topic.
Correct. And she's not a voting member of the board. She's just a presenter as well, correct? Okay. I made that change as well.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Any other comments on the minutes, corrections? Anyone care to make a motion to approve?
I would make a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
I second
that motion.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. The minutes as corrected stand approved by the board. Thank you. And again, Leonel, that's a lot of work. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to committee discussion section of our agenda, the charter agreement review process. Some of these may not have anything to review, but let's go first to the finance. Not so much, I don't think there was anything specifically to the agreement review process, but any, for those who met earlier this evening, anything to share with the larger board?
Phil, do you have anything to add other than what Brian said?
No, I think Brian covered it well. We'll be getting bids for next year's audit, and we still haven't done anything with reviewing our audit, but that's something that we'll be working on in the next few weeks, I think.
Is there a preference or a presumption that against using the same auditor that we previously used?
No, it's just standard practice to look at them every 5 years just to see if we're happy with what they're doing and get some bids so to make sure that they're still competitive.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you all for serving on that committee. With respect to the charter agreement review process that we've talked in previous sessions, any of those other committees that warrant any discussion this evening? Okay. Eulocchio, before we jump into your report, can we just take a minute for those of us, myself included, maybe I'm hopefully not the only one, to give us a little update on the competition, the alternative school that Natalie referenced?
You know, we every time a school opens, we always brace for the worst. And we've had two open right around us. And and we hope that this is the case again when we lose maybe a dozen kids. There's a lot of talk every time that, especially with the one that opened a year ago, over on 5600 West and about 2100 South. Because their first school is in Glendale, we expected to lose a lot more than we lost. And so we are aware that there's a new school. We are always enrolling more kids than we should. And so we've been okay in the past, and I fully expect to be okay this year coming up. We just so you know, we have 81 for kindergarten students, and I don't know if Ari, how many do we have right now for next year?
How many we have already complete?
Complete.
85. Sorry, 85. I went over.
Yeah, so, and it's okay because we will probably get 90 kids on the list because we know the school is opening up, and so we will over-enroll by probably 20 or 30 kids just to be okay. We begin in the fall. So I fully expect to be okay.
And this school with the junior high, that's an added issue that we haven't dealt with before, isn't it?
I think that the other school on 2100 South also has a junior high.
Oh, okay.
Marty?
Okay. Please, Julie.
I do want to make a point that we've talked about in the past, especially in parent-teacher conferences these last few days, since I work mostly with upper grade kids. I know that the board has thought of this idea in the past. I don't know where we've gone with it, but there is a request from our parents that we consider expanding into junior high. One of the things that comes up, one of the reasons we lose older kids is because their junior highs in our area start at sixth grade. And they have a sixth grade. But they would rather have their kids stay with us, and they're very concerned about not having such wonderful, safe, caring, rigorous, bilingual, culturally responsive environments for their kids. So just to put a pitch in there to keep that in the back of the minds of our board members to consider the expansion to junior high.
Thanks, Julia. That's an important point. And Ari, if you're still with us,
I am.
Oh, good. Zoe, Ari,
the Zoe triplets.
Would you make a note for the next month's agenda to put that on a on the agenda for an item discussion? I think it'd be, we'd be better served to get the input of both Cody and Vaughn on that significant issue, but it's one we probably don't want to kick down the road too far.
Absolutely. Yep. Noted.
Okay.
And just so you know, we've been approached by parents for years now about expanding into junior high. So I am certain that we would have no problem filling up the classes that we create.
Okay. Let's keep moving. Lokio, can you give us your report?
Certainly. I need to find the... Okay.
I need to give you permission to share. No, it's not my call. You can give yourself permission to share.
Can you... I think somebody was sharing before, so it's giving me...
Brian? Was Brian sharing?
Yeah, but I think I'm okay now. Can you see my screen or no?
Not yet.
No? Not yet. Okay.
Just your pretty face.
I am going to close the presentation. And then, it's not allowing me to close the presentation because we're recording the meeting. It's weird because I can see the presentation and it's telling me that I'm sharing, but I'm not. Oh, I got it. Okay. Can you see it?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So this is all the beautiful people that work at Esperanza Elementary School. You see it every month. I want to remind you. As I think Brian mentioned, the numbers, we did add about three people, but then we lost a few more kids. So we don't want to add too many kids in this stage of the year, so we're going to keep an eye on it and probably just keep going with what we have. If we get below 525, then we will add. Otherwise, we'll keep it where we are. Parent-teacher conferences, as someone mentioned earlier, did happen, and some of them even happened today, so we do not have all the numbers, but we did have at least 90% of the parents show up in person. It was very, very crowded. I was there late on Wednesday, on Tuesday, I believe it was, and very, very busy. All the board members received three bids to purchase laptops. I wanted to get the laptops because about 2 weeks ago we were looking at closing because we had so many cases in the community and granted closed down and I was very concerned, so I asked for bids and received the bids a little bit late earlier in the week. This week, I believe it was this week, and Monday or Tuesday. And so we are now on hold, but we think we are going to go ahead and purchase the computers, one computer for each classroom teacher, with a cost of right around $23,000, almost $24,000. I sent the three bids to the board members. Notice that that we are choosing the more expensive computers, and that is because our IT consultant recommended these computers over the others. He said that these ones are better for teachers, and he recommended us getting these computers. The price difference is about $3,000 or $4,000 for the 20 computers, so it's not too much, and the funding is available, so we will go with these computers.
Hey, Igokyo, I'm not really close to the market for, but these are laptops or desktops?
They are laptops. Yeah, the teachers already have desktops. They're a little bit older, and when we are online, they really need high quality laptops because we bought some cheap laptops last time because they didn't have new laptops. So we purchased about 20 computers, but they were
used computer thing, they did not work well. So we want to get him some really nice laptops in case. And we do have a handful of kids. I believe we have about 3 or 4 kids that are online. And so those teachers that have those students need a computer to help those kids.
So is anyone real close to the sort of computer market? Maybe it's just been a while since I bought a laptop, but that's really pricey to me. Is that market?
No, that's a good price, actually, Marty. That's about $1,200 per computer, and that's something with a lot of memory, solid drives, which are needed these days. They last a long time. That's a really good price.
Yeah, for the price you're paying per unit, you're getting a pretty high-end computer, I think. I mean, $1,300, that's a... What is this? Is it a Windows Surface? Is it a Dell? Do you know?
Yeah. So I sent you the 3 bids earlier today so that you could take a look. And they have all the specifications for all 3 computer or 3 companies that gave us the bids. And the IT consultant, HWire, is the one that recommended this. They're a little bit higher end. He did mention that they're a little bit faster. Cameras are a little bit brighter, and so he recommended this one because they're a little bit better computers, and the price per unit is not that much more.
Yeah, I really do think it's a good price.
It looks like are they the Lenovo, the ThinkPads? Yeah. Is that what they are?
You may want to look at the email.
That's what I'm looking at. It's a ThinkPad Yoga Second Generation. Yeah. It's an Intel. They're nice.
They're okay. Very nice.
Very nice. Something I would like to add to this is only just because I just recently, I'm kind of doing a make versus buy and trying to do a cost estimate for something else. And they usually recommend when you're buying computers or you're developing your budget for those types of things that you should actually basically have enough money in your budget to replace them every 3 years. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yes. In this case, the IT recommended that we wouldn't replace them because hopefully by then the pandemic will be over and then we could just keep the desktops and we wouldn't need this ones. Because we did talk about that. If we're going to replace them every 3 years, is the cost going to go higher? And he said, well, but you, hopefully the pandemic will be over and you won't have to replace them. This is for the next, and they're good, he said, for about 5 years. Yeah, you want to replace them if you're using them all the time, but they would be good for about 5 years.
And okay. When was the last time you replaced the desktops in the school?
We replace some every year, about 5 to 10 every year. So we don't replace them all at once.
I just didn't know if it would be more productive or more value added for the teacher to have, you know, rather than a desktop, have a docking station or something at work that they could take their laptop home with them and have this work at both places. I just wasn't sure.
That would be good to get their feedback to see what they would think about that. They probably.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
So okay. Do we need to approve this or anything?
No, because if it's $50,000 and over is when you have to, but I just wanted to know that purchase is coming.
Okay, thanks for the heads up.
Okay.
So I've had my laptop for 4 years now. Does that mean I get a replacement?
No, you don't.
Okay, thank you.
So we got another communication from the state. We're getting quite a few, and I've shared some of them with you. And they are asking the U.S. Department of Education for a waiver. And the waiver, you can take a look at it. It's online. You have this on the Google Drive. You have the PowerPoint so that you can just click on it and it'll take you to that site. And you can submit your comments to them about the change the state is asking, the waiver that the state is asking for.
We shared this document with all the parents. We send it to all the parents, and there are parents who are making comments. They contacted me. And so this, the state wanted us to send them to everybody, to just send it to all stakeholders, parents, board members, faculty and staff, and so on. So we've done so.
Okay, sounds good.
Some really great news. We just finished the middle of the year Acadians or Dibble testing, and it looks pretty good. A lot better than it did last year. We were at 43% last year. We're at 55%. And as you can see, we have the percentages for each of the teachers. And the federal programs coordinator and I are working together to develop a tutoring plan for the kids that are bubble kids that are almost passing or they're reaching 1 year's growth. And that's what that is, 1 year's growth. So if the 50% of those kids that you can see there, for example, for a teacher, the number one teacher there, the first one, it says that 13 of his kids have are reaching 1 year's growth if they keep going the way they have been for the last several months. So that's half of his kids. And you can see the percentage all the way across. I want to highlight third grade teacher A, who has 74% of her students who are going to reach 1 year's growth by the end of the year. And she's one that is always worried about not doing a good job. She's always worried and nervous that she doesn't feel like she's teaching, and she's always worried because some kids she doesn't feel are learning enough. And we're just excited to show her that, yes, you are. In fact, 74% of your kids are. The state requires 60% of the students. So she's way above. And as you can see, most of our teachers are above 50%. And several of them are above 55%. So we're working with them to help them reach the goal. And I have no doubt that we as a school will meet the goal of 60%, because we're at 55. We need 11 more students to get above that line of 60%, and we will be reaching the goal. Of course, we would love to have 70% or higher, and I believe that this year we could get close to 70% if we keep the way that we are. And go ahead.
I just want to say, from the statewide assessment directors meeting this morning, there is large concern about meeting the uniform growth goal across the state because, of course, of the pandemic. And the beginning of the year was super rough for a lot of Utah schools, and also coming back after the break. So this is really great in comparison, I think, to what a lot of other schools are experiencing.
And I also want to mention third grade teachers, because we have two. One is new and the other one moved up. And so they're new to third grade. And they are already at 61% growth goal. So we're excited for them.
Sounds good. That's fantastic.
Yes, a couple of updates on the COVID situation. Now there's a new goal, a new way to look at the as COVID numbers, and that is the last 7 days. But even within the last 7 days, we only have one student in the last 7 days, so one person. It doesn't necessarily have to be a student, but we have one person that has been confirmed positive with COVID in the last 7 days, and that's what we're looking at now. It used to be 14, then they changed it to 5, and then now it's 7. And so we do have some teachers that are worried about the COVID situation, and we're working with them to make sure that they feel comfortable, and if they need to take a day off, we certainly allow that to occur. We continue with the preventative steps. We still have the building being sprayed every single day. We are doing it after school now.
We still have disinfectant for every student when they're coming in the morning. We're still disinfecting their hands. We still have the disinfectant gel all over the school. And we still have masks required in the building. And we are happy to report that only one parent has asked for a waiver of masks in the building. We do have a handful of kids, maybe five or six, who kind of refuse to wear the mask. But when we call the parents, they insist that their students wear the mask. So 99% of our kids wear a mask without much problems.
Yeah. Awesome.
The other preventative measure is small groups. After school, we don't allow the big 80 kids to be in one place at any given time for music and other activities. We're still canceling some extracurricular activities. Our mariachi's still not performing. Even though we hope to perform in May, that's when I think we can return to performing, because as you probably have heard in the news, the numbers are coming down, and we've noticed them even in our building. I will send you an email on this strategic planning meeting. I contacted the people up here in Weber County, up in Huntsville. There is a place that has enough space for us if we have 12 to 15 people. If we have more, it's a bed and breakfast. There wouldn't be enough space. But there's another hotel that hasn't contacted me yet, and I've contacted them a couple of times. So it's up in Eden, on the other side of the mountain, so that's where I'm looking for. If you have other options or you want to go someplace else, let me know.
What, when you say on the other side of the mountain, you mean like on the east end of that valley?
Yeah, on the east side of the mountain, you have to go through Ogden Canyon to get to that bed and breakfast that I'm telling you about.
Oh, you mean over into the Huntsville Valley?
Yeah, Eden. In Eden, it's called Eden, that little town.
So we've discussed it before that to do two nights. Is that what we're still doing, or the one night and then?
We have the option of doing it two nights in that bed and breakfast.
Okay.
Like I said, there's only 12 sleeping places, so that would limit us. But the other hotel has a number, but I think right now with the ski season, I think they may be a little busy.
Right.
But I'll keep bugging them. And I called them, they didn't answer, so. Okay, I will send you an email if they respond. That's the remaining meetings that we have in March, April, May, and then hopefully in June we'll have the strategic planning meeting. And I put that picture because in 36 years, I haven't taken a vacation during school time. And this time there was a wedding that was happening, and they asked me to be the officiant for that wedding. So I went to Mexico with a group and had a really good time. I thought I was going to die on the zip line, but I survived it. So
was their mariachi band as good as ours?
No, there is no mariachi as good as ours in Portland. So. It was good, but not as good as ours.
Okay.
Lots of food. I think I gained about 5 to 10 pounds more.
Awesome. Okay, anything else, Silogio? Is that it?
That's it, unless you have any questions.
So our next board meeting is March 10th, same time, yep. 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Cut Silogio off. Any questions for Silogio?
If not, that's the end.
Very good. Thank you very much, everybody. We will look forward to anything else anyone needs to bring up before we adjourn.
I just wanted to, I know I was late. I appreciate, I'm sorry that happened. I'm not sure if anyone was anybody starting to take minutes, or I came in with the teacher introduction, so I can go back and finish and listen. It looks like this meeting was being recorded. Just wondering how soon it will be available for me to go back and watch.
I took some minutes, Becky. I'll send what I have to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for doing them last time.
Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Very much for joining us. Lourdes, thank you for joining us. Julia, thank you for joining us.
Okay. Not all. Thanks.
Okay. Bye. Good night.
Thank you.
Recording.